good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I'll tell you what, after watching the opening ceremonies from Beijing for the past hour, I think it's time that every single one of us in this country, in addition to whatever else we're doing, learn Chinese. Learn Chinese. There is no question, none whatsoever, as to the culture, the civilization, the business community, the corporate entities, the military, that is going to be dominant in the 21st century. That's it. End of story. If you have been watching some of the opening ceremonies, continue. That's fine with me. I don't know why you would want to pull away from it for this program. I wish there was some way I could continue to watch, but we're taping. Good God, we are recording it for so that we can look at it later on this evening. It's astonishing. It is just astonishing. I've never seen anything this visually precise, and with 15,000 performers involved in this, it's incredible. Like Kathy said earlier, yeah, but they don't have monster trucks like we did here in here in Atlanta for the opening ceremonies back in 1996.
I miss the monster trucks, the mud rally, and the big puppet.
Well,
and Izzy.
Yeah, and
yeah,
Izzy.
This is just too much. It's too pretentious.
Pretentious.
What? They're just showing off. You know, they have billions of people, and most of them are men, and they're just showing off.
And are they ever? Oh, my God. Learn Chinese. Learn Chinese.
I have a question. Are you going to watch the opening games? Are you going to watch a tearful, repentant John Edwards on ABC tonight?
No, I'm really not interested in the, we're going to mention the Edwards story, but I really don't want to see Nightline's interview with him. God, no. And as far as the Olympic competition itself, I will probably watch the swimming, but that's about the only sport that I have any interest in whatsoever. But these opening ceremonies are astonishing. Just astonishing. Learn Chinese. Couple of things. At thenation.com, Robert Dreyfus has something interesting. This just happened today. Biblical scholars. And this is not from The Onion. This is not from any comedic website. This is for real. Listen to this. Biblical scholars in Colorado Springs, of course, have uncovered startling evidence that John McCain may be the Antichrist. No, for real. I'm not saying this as someone who thinks John McCain ought to just go home and play with his old lady. I'm serious. They think he may be the Antichrist. Their conclusions, Dreyfus writes, while highly controversial, may have a dramatic impact on the 2008 election, since many Bible-believing Christians have already expressed doubts about McCain's fealty to Christianity. When they hear about this, and they're going to hear about it, the analysis was conducted by something called the True Bible Society, which apparently has an awful lot of cachet among the really crazed, left-behind evangelical Book of Revelation nutcases out there, and they are legion. They're all over the place. And the analysis is going to be published, apparently, next month in something called the End Times Journal. The End Times Journal. Okay. Now, this is all, the analysis is especially ironic, Dreyfus writes, given that it came out just one day after McCain was accused of subtly hinting that Barack Obama could be the Antichrist. You know that commercial depicting Obama as the one, and then the Charlton Heston thing and Moses and all that. Now, all that gave rise to the charges that he, McCain, was sending a subliminal message to anti-Obama Christians. Yes, he was. David Jenkins, who is a leading biblical scholar, said, quote, what started us looking at this issue is the fact that Senator McCain has declared his intention to maintain U.S. forces in Iraq for 100 years. That means that McCain wants to control Babylon for at least a century, end quote. Now, according to a lot of these crazed scholars of the Book of Revelation, you know, talk about trying to figure out how many angels dance on the head of a pin. John of Patmos, who wrote the book of Revelation, obviously discovered peyote cactus out in the desert. He was high as a kite. He was trying to write something that referred to the civil authority. Oh, never mind. Anyway, according to scholars of the book of Revelation, the Antichrist will try to rebuild the ancient city of Babylon in order to use it as a springboard for an international effort at world domination. Ultimately, the Antichrist will marshal forces from Babylon to spark a showdown with Christian and Jewish-led forces. Yeah, in the Battle of Armageddon. Jenkins, David Jenkins, the biblical scholar, said, quote, "We believe that the end times is near." A lot of people did 2,000 years ago. Oh, never mind. "We believe the end times is near based on the pattern of wars, earthquakes, and other strange phenomena we've been witnessing since the start of the new millennium." Jenkins goes on to say, "Given that it may be imminent, the person who controls Babylon must be the Antichrist." End quote. Now, up until about 2003, until the invasion, a lot of these crazed Christians believed that Saddam Hussein was the Antichrist, since he started excavations, I should say, to restore Babylon in the mid-70s. So obviously Saddam Hussein was the Antichrist. Oh, my God. But guess what? The fact that Hussein was hanged meant that the Antichrist, well, has to be someone else. Since Obama wants to get us out of Iraq, he can't be the Antichrist either. Guess who that leaves? Now, there's more. Biblical scholar Jenkins said his team's suspicions were further heightened when genealogical research showed that McCain's great-grandfather was actually not someone named John McCain, but someone named John Mihai. M-I-H-A-I, Mihai. Mihai is an ancient Romanian name. And according to the crazed Christians, the Antichrist is likely to be a Romanian! David Jenkins goes on, the leading biblical scholar, a leading biblical scholar, goes on, "What clinched it for us was that the name Mihai means who is like the Lord. As far as we're concerned, that was enough. It means that McCain might easily pretend to be the Redeemer." End quote. McCain's geniality and folksiness are consistent with his being the Antichrist, Jenkins added. Quote, "Many people think that the Antichrist will be an evil-seeming leader, but in fact the Bible tells us that he will be charming." End quote. Well, so far the McCain campaign has refused to comment on David Jenkins' study. You can read this at thenation.com. It's real. It's real. What? A lot of people accuse me of being negative or you know, ready to throw in the towel, and you couldn't be more wrong, but you know, to hell with you. Take that attitude if you want. But the Christians, these Armageddonists, these millennialists, or whatever they're called, these end times people, you talk about people who want war, death, destruction. I'm sure that's part of why we're involved in two wars that we know about, and maybe two more that we're not aware of, Iran and Georgia, no, not here, but over in next to Russia. Because the millennialists, the crazy people that now control the government or control, certainly have influence on it, they want this. They want the death and the blood and the gore and millions of dead Jews and millions of dead Christians and all kinds of people floating skyward, bare-ass naked with their clothes left behind and airliners all of a sudden without pilots and boats without captains. And, oh, it's a glorious getting up morning, ain't it?
The Jews are waiting. Christians are waiting. Also the Muslims. It's like everybody's waiting. They've been waiting a long time. I know how I hate to wait, like even for a bus or something, an important phone call. So I can just imagine how darned impatient everybody must be getting. So I think it's time now to
time. Tell me what you say. If you could talk to me, what news would you bring of voices in the sky?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Voices in the sky.
It is 22 past the hour. Some emails on the Edwards thing. I don't know what to say about it. I really don't. So let's do some emails here. Sandy writes, Mike, well, only minutes after John Edwards admitted that, yes, he did have an affair, excuse me, and that he's ashamed of his behavior, the media are already calling him a liar and blathering on and on about how he lied to the public and his staff. Wall-to-wall coverage of John Edwards, the liar. So once again, we have a Democrat was getting slammed for lying about an affair, but after years of Bush lying to the world about the crimes we know he and his administration have committed, there's nary a whisper of the L word among them. I can't effing stand it. Sandy. Yeah, remember the little toy hearings that, what's his name, John Conyers held a couple of weeks ago, the impeachment? No. Not impeachment, the not impeachment hearings. Remember the rules that George Bush could not be called a liar? And you people are still going to vote Democratic. Okay, go ahead. Do it. Paul writes in, regarding John Edwards' extramarital affair, my take on this is none of my goddamn business. It's his personal life, and this particular family crisis should be the business of... should be the business of family and friends and not the business of the evil American corporate media and the right-wing smear machine. But, of course, don't look for the right-wing echo machine to take the high road on this John Edwards thing. They're going to be all over this like a bunch of goddamn vultures. The right-wing a-holes are going to have a field day on this one. Poor Elizabeth Edwards. She's such a great woman. I feel for her big time, Uncle Mike. Well, Paul is not really my nephew, but he calls me Uncle Mike. From Roz, Mike, with all the interesting things going on in China at the Olympics, not to mention Russia and Georgia, CNN, the Gossip Channel, has been going on ad nauseum about Edwards. Campbell Brown was just grinning with glee while reporting this. Don't they know there's a whole other world out there? CNN is nothing more than a hate-filled gossip-mongering cable show for dimwits and teenagers. On China and the opening show, it was breathtaking, wasn't it? Roz, yeah, that's why I say we better all learn Chinese. From Andrew, dear Mike, the French are smarter than Americans, as evidenced by, one, they used the guillotine during the revolution, two, the bidet, three, the John Edwards scandal wouldn't be if he was French. Well, yeah. And Mark Perkel writes, the Edwards confession that he had an affair with a woman while his wife was ill is not what it seems to be. It is a plot, a scheme, a ploy by the Democrats to smear John McCain's reputation because he did something similar with his first wife. Was Obama behind this revelation with the possible help of secret Clinton operatives? Or did Obama just get lucky that the eye of moral judgment is looking toward McCain's past? However it happens, Pandora's box is now officially open. And the infidelity card is in play. Yeah, what about John McCain? He's a senator, just like Edwards was a senator. Didn't McCain cheat on his, I hate this term, crippled wife and leave her for a snake-eyed beer heiress? Oh, no, don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
I wish Bill Clinton, though, had borrowed a page out of Edwards' book and waited to announce his little infidelity, on Super Bowl Sunday or when there was some nice big showy event to cover it all up. That would have been smarter.
I'm not sure what you meant by that, but first of all, Bill Clinton didn't announce his little...
Well, to confess. to publicly confess.
No, he...
It would have been nicer if he could have waited for, oh, I don't know, Britney Spears' new video to come out or something really earth-shattering.
He never confessed.
Well, he apologized on national television.
Oh, okay.
All right, that would have been better.
You're talking about after he was impeached.
Well, sure. Okay. I'm saying, when he did his little mea culpa, like Edwards is going to do over there, I'm sorry, I'm a weak man. You know, how many times have we heard that? anyway, I wish that Clinton had chosen a night like this one. I know he probably couldn't have waited for the Olympic opening ceremonies, but certainly there must have been something, I don't know, a Mars probe landing, something.
Something, yeah, absolutely. Well, as far as John Edwards' personal life and his wife's personal life, just like, you know, when Larry Craig got busted in the airport in Minneapolis for tapping his foot, you know, we laughed about it because it was so hypocritical. But, you know, eventually, if you remember, after about 2 days of it, I said, you know, leave the guy alone. For God's sake, what did he do? So, you know, so we live in a society where homosexual sex is, and if Larry Craig wanted to have a little fun, he has to go to a public bathroom and tap his foot. Leave him the hell alone. Whose business is it what Larry Craig does or what John Edwards does, except their family, huh, or their friends? And did you get David Bonnier's comment today? Stick your head up your butt and go away, Bonnier.
Turn off your light. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Not to stir the pot again, but just a couple of remaining comments. The emails are still coming in about the my observation that the Republicans ought to be made to wallow in the mess they've created by putting McCain in the Oval Office and having a veto-proof House and Senate. And again, the email that's coming in still indicates to me how crazy folks can be when they continue to want to see the White House contests as that. Some kind of a sporting event, mano a mano, some kind of a death match. Jesus. Justin in Portland, Oregon wrote, Mike, I don't know whether to laugh or throw up at some of your listeners and their total inability to grasp reality. If I hear you read another email where someone says, we'll just have to hold their feet to the fire, I'm not just going to toss my cookies, I'm going to catapult them. These people honestly believe that Obama will bow to public pressure? What public pressure? The Bush crime family has been steamrolling over our rights for 8 years. What have our protests amounted to? We've witnessed the complete dismembering of our constitutional rights, our economy, national identity, and military, but we're going to hold Obama's feet to the fire? We can't even hold Karl Rove's feet to the fire, much less Bush, and they are committing open acts of treason right in our faces. We elected a Democratic majority in large part to stop the criminal war in the Middle East. Someone remind me how the Democrats have handled that burden. Have even our elected Congress members done a thing to hold Bush's feet to the fire? Yet somehow these Democrats managed to convince themselves that Obama will listen to Joe and Jane, liberal progressive, and insult you as being a tool for the right wing. How have we come to this? Where we must vote for ideas like hope or international respect instead of voting for the man best qualified to represent the American people? And people make fun of me when I tell them I'm voting for Nader because I'm not a realist like them. Justin in Portland. Yeah, I know. Marion Charlotte, North Carolina, writes, Mike, just finished listening to your podcast from Thursday and wanted to say a couple of things about the Obama people. The true believers remind me of a person who is engaged to someone with a flaw, maybe immoderate spending or drinking, whatever, who think that once they're married, that the flaw will magically disappear. If Obama gives us pause now, what makes us think that his positions will magically change once he's elected? The real world doesn't work like that. And if we tell ourselves he has to tell the public what it wants to hear in order to get elected, doesn't that make him an opportunist and a liar? And is that a person we want to be president? Again? And it makes me crazed to hear his supporters say that we will hold his feet to the fire on certain issues because we've been so good at that in recent history with our senators and members of Congress. Right. Not to mention the president. Sure. We'll suddenly grow spines, too. Not. When are these supposedly liberal critics of yours going to stop living in fantasy land? And if we can't have this discussion now on your program, what's it going to be like after the election? Mary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, yeah, I hear you all loud and clear. Oh, wait, before we do that, I think it's time once again for... A Moment with Bob. Yes, once again, folks, it's time for A Moment with Bob. Hi, Mike. The flap you started a couple of days ago by simply suggesting that maybe it's not much such a hot idea for Obama to take his turn in the barrel for the next 4 years made me think of an article I squirreled away last New Year's Eve. It was titled Death by Election. It was written by David Swanson. Swanson says what no one seems to grasp, quote, without honest and credible elections and an informed electorate, there can be no democracy, end quote. You don't have to be Carnac the Magnificent to predict that the election that will decide our next bus driver is an exercise in political nihilism. All the issues that really mean something have been swept off the table. Every single one. The driving force behind this nonsense is once again a battle of the bands whose personality reigns supreme. McCain and Obama will not make any substantive changes to the power structure of this country. We know this because they've said so. McCain and Obama will not restore the Constitution. McCain and Obama will not immediately get us out of Iraq, regardless of the screaming fact that the war was started because the Bush regime lied us into it. This fact has been reported time after time during this election year. The Center for Public Integrity on January 23rd, Vince Bugliosi in his book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, published in May. The Senate Intelligence Committee released their report about it on June 5th. And Ron Suskin in his book, The Way of the World, published on August 5th. And Scott Ritter told everyone who would listen, starting in 2002, that the Bush regime was lying us into war. But our two candidates for president are steadfastly ignoring the lie and have no plan to immediately stop the killing. So to hell with them both. What McCain and Obama will do is continue to ignore this basic truth. As cited by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., quote, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today is my own government, end quote. As long as the conditions that created the Bush regime are not changed, there will be no change. As David Swanson wrote, on the last day of 2007, quote, but we cannot raise those standards through electoral work. If we want John Edwards to promise never to launch an aggressive war, we will impeach the people who launched the last one. If we want Hillary Clinton to commit to not spying on Huckabee or any of us without a warrant and probable cause, we will put behind bars the architects of the current spying programs. If we want the world to understand that Bush and Cheney and the current Congress do not speak for us, we will raise our voices now, not next November. If we want credible elections and palatable candidates, we will break the electoral spell and start behaving like the citizens of a democracy, end quote. Which candidate should take this oath of office on Inauguration Day. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Who? Which one? The one who voted to trash the Fourth Amendment? Or the one who didn't bother up? Or the one who didn't bother to show up to vote one way or another? Regards, Bob. Another Moment with Bob, brought to you by our friends at Offshore Drilling. Until next time, thank you, Bob. All right, what else we got here? By the way, we're going to open up the phones now. The number is 800-989-1480. We have decided tonight to really take some phone calls. So, give us a holler. There's so much to talk about. 800-989-1480. Prairie 2 writes, Mike, wonder why Chucklenuts is offending his banker in China with preachy human rights statements, especially on religion. They like to pretend they aren't godless communists anymore. It's the same reason he just made a big show of sending more money to Africa to fight AIDS. He's trying to stop the hemorrhaging of votes with the evangelicals. People who watch the movement are saying Obama is on track to get 40% of the evangelical vote. Clinton got 30% in 92. McCain has another problem with the growing number of evangelicals that are becoming economic populists. Not only are they getting hit hard when they take the church van to the Republican gas pump, they also tend to have a lot of kids to feed. Having a lot of kids also means there are a lot of young evangelicals who are more tolerant and more interested in social causes like AIDS in Africa. There are also many who see greed as unchristlike. Would Jesus wear $450 Roman sandals and leave his crippled wife destitute to marry a beer heiress? They're becoming increasingly angered by Republicans in general who suck up to them right before the election but ignore them the rest of the time. This is even more troublesome for the down-ticket Republicans, who will not only lose votes, but many of their campaign volunteers as well, making an overwhelming Democratic Congress more and more likely. Which is why I said what I said, pray to, about giving the Oval Office. Oh, well. Oh, and as a P.S., pray to, said, when John McCain was asked how he would handle the Russians invading Georgia, he replied, quote, I would send General Sherman back down to Atlanta to burn it again, my friends. End quote. We'll be back after the break with your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. To your phone calls. Calling from Hallandale, Florida. Vasco, listening on WINZ. Hey, Vasco.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, I just wanted to thank you for, you know, speaking the truth about, you know, the elections that are coming up. I can't vote for Obama or McCain, and I hope that there's other people like me out there. And I hope that, like, the Green Party and possibly the Libertarian Party become major parties and that they get the 5% so that they can become competitive with the Republicans and the Democrats. But I don't see anybody. I see one of those two being the president, and I think that Obama is going to be less unpleasant than McCain. And I just this is a very bad situation we're in, and I don't think that there's a quick fix to it.
Well, you're probably right that Obama would be less unpleasant than McCain. But, you know, the past several elections, I've voted that same concept that the person I'm voting for is going to be less unpleasant than the other person. And frankly, I'm tired of it. And I think the two-party system in this country has to be murdered. It has to be strangled. I'm not advocating anarchy like some of the more crazy emailers and bloggers have suggested that I was advocating, which is so far from the truth as to render it gibberish. But what I am advocating is an end for once and for all to the two-party system. In fact, there should be no party system. The framers of the Constitution tried to warn us against political parties.
Absolutely. They call them factions.
Right, saying that, yeah, that the political parties would wind up doing what political parties do, and that is ensuring their own survival, and to hell with self-government, which is precisely what has happened, among other things, negative. So I would like to see the death of the Republican Party and the critically wounding of the Democratic Party, and the rise of as many parties as possible until the idea of political party becomes meaningless.
Well,
hold on. Let me finish. So that then what we have are candidates who run for office. And if they can organize people to help them out to get elected, if they can make their points clearly, and if those points are the points of self-governance that the American people want, fine. So what I'm thinking about, and I'll never live to see this, but in my little political utopia, every single political party would eventually cease to exist. But the first one that has to go, it has to be murdered, butchered, decapitated, is the Republican Party. And the best way to do that is to let this senile old bastard in there for 4 years. And if that doesn't do it, then nothing will.
Well, as I said, if there is a God, from your mouth to her ears.
Okay, I hear you. Thanks, Vasco. All right, take care, man. Appreciate it. Maya is calling from Miami, also listening on WINZ. Hey, Maya.
Yes, hi. How are you doing? Good evening.
I'm fine.
I wanted to talk about the same issue. I was thinking of having more than two parties, because two parties is not really a choice. It's like we think that we have a choice, so we have like A and B, but it's not really a true choice. And
right.
Americans think that they're free, but they're not really free to choose of nothing. And those two parties we've seen through history now, especially the last 20 years, is that these two parties are basically alike. They just A and B, but they do the same things, and they bring our country to the same place, which we don't want to be in, where our freedoms are taken away, and they're both corrupt. But there's two choices, I think. The first choice is either to have four or five political parties and have more choices and be more diversified, and then hopefully those parties will be more, you know, more
responsive to the people.
Exactly, to the people's needs. Or I would say we need it badly right away, because this two-party system is very bad. Or the other choice is to have a king. But I've watched this show recently that was done years ago, and it was about history. And they said that the United States never ceased of being a colony, that we really are still a colony of England. And part of when England stopped fighting with the United States, that one of the things that England told the United States was that you can never make a king. mm-hmm. which is terrible because they don't want them to have a kingdom like in Europe they did and in right. other, in China and other places because when you have a kingdom, the king actually starts to care about how much money is in his treasury and how much is going, like right now, trillions of dollars went for weapons. And we were basically milked out of, we're in debt, from what I know, to China and other countries now. Mm-hmm. And we owe money to them. And, like, we have to work for, like, years to pay off that debt and basically making the weapons companies rich. And one more thing about weapons companies is what people don't realize is that weapons have been developed for the last 50 years or so. The high-tech weapons, they have been all developed with United States money, United States government money, and United States mind power.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, for some reason, in the last 30 years, Bush Sr., through his him being the head of the CIA, has managed to give all the rights to all the high-tech weaponry to private companies. And all of a sudden now, the last 20 years, these private companies are, and he gave it to them for pennies on the dollar.
He did. And the Bush crime family is responsible for so much. And Maya, I have to leave it there. Thank you very much. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on Nova M Radio. Thanks for joining us or staying tuned. I'm going to share something with you here. John Amato, writing at Crooks and Liars, just wrote this evening, I think. Late this evening from Crooks and Liars. He's referencing David Gregory on, is that NBC, CNBC? David Gregory? First, Amato says, yeah, John Edwards had an affair that was handled privately a couple of years ago, and the Edwards story is big news. He will get the Anna Nicole Smith Brett Favre treatment for a while now. Elizabeth Edwards, then he has the link, responds here. But from the email inbox, John Amato's, comes this. David Gregory just said young people were inspired by him, by Edwards, and are let down, and questioned whether this revelation will have broader implications for the Democratic Party during the election. This week, Ron Suskind's book revealed the Bush team knew Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction, forged letters, paid hush money, and lied us into war. Crickets. Crickets. Any broader implications for the Republican Party there? The absurdity of a media culture where this is what passes for holding politicians accountable. Yeah, I felt the same thing today. Molly and I were at one of the local vegetable fruit stands up the road and buying some Tennessee tomatoes and some Florida bananas. And what else did we get? Some Tennessee cherries. You know, local stuff. Local as we can get here in Georgia right now. And the cell phone rings, and it's Kathy, and she said, are you listening to CNN on Sirius satellite radio? I said, no, what? John Edwards, affair, child, going to be on Nightline. Oh, my God. So when I got home, when Molly and I got home about an hour later, I flipped on CNN. They're still doing it all night, MSNBC, constantly. The network news programs NBC didn't lead with it because they have a contract with China to lead with the Olympics, and they've got all their advertisers to the corporate masters of NBC or NBC to make sure they get their commercials out. But there it is. I mean, why is John Edwards and his family being roasted? What about this goddamn Dick Cheney, this murderous, miserable son of a bitch? What about George Bush? What about all these people? Nobody, not even Democrats. And this is why I am disgusted by Democrats, starting with John Conyers and Nancy Pelosi. Don't even mention during your toy impeachment hearings that Bush is a liar. But these people are all over the air. John Edwards lied. So, does it hold broader implications for the Democratic Party? Okay, as John Amato writes, let's talk party. Scott McClellan said that Fox News got talking points from the White House. Bush authorized rendition. Bush authorized torture. Bush authorized war based on lies resulting in millions of innocent Iraqi and Afghan civilians, as well as an ethnic cleansing. Thousands of our troops have been killed or seriously injured. U.S. dollars in the tank. The housing mortgage crisis has almost caused a depression. How about the trampling of the Constitution with warrantless wiretapping? Laptops are being confiscated at airports and the border. Under Bush, oil companies are raking in record profits while Americans suffer. The U.S. attorney scandal, a health care epidemic, Monica Goodling, a standing ovation for the adulterer David Bitter when he returned to Congress, military TV analysts and general scandal, Larry Craig's bathroom adventure, and many, many more. Would any of this have broader implications to the Republican Party during an election if the media did its job? Newt Gingrich still gets on TV every other day, and everyone knows he had affairs, even dumping his wife right after cancer surgery. And yet all these mainstream media types are wringing their hands about what this means to the Democratic Party. Ridiculous. Throw a stone in Washington, D.C., and try not to hit someone with a little something going on the side. And that includes those in the press corps. And they have the nerve to talk about betrayal of Edwards to the media and his wife in that order? Why aren't they more outraged about the betrayal of the White House to get us into a war? What screwed up priorities? Well, yeah. And thanks to Steve who sent this to me. Liberal media. You scummy bastards. You scummy bastards. Liberal media. So there it is. I come home and I see this. Wolf Blitzer, the former German U-boat commander. Wolf Blitzer. All over the story, all kinds of people commenting, all these thugs and scum and bastards and liars and hypocrites and people who couldn't care less than they already do about what happens in this country. Oh, but give them a scandal. Give them Larry Craig. Yeah. Oh, my God. Granted, Larry Craig was a hypocrite because he actually tried to punish gay folk. But give him Larry Craig. Give him John Edwards. Give him Bill Clinton. It's disgusting, filthy media. No wonder. No wonder we are where we are. Just once. Why doesn't David Gregory sit there and ask, hey, will it have broad implications for the Republican Party about what these lying bastards have done for the past 8 years? No. See, what's going to happen is this. This is going to continue, and we're going to elect Barack Obama. But by God, when Barack Obama gets in the White House, we are going to hold his feet to the fire. Yes, we are. We're going to turn him into a real liberal, real progressive. Barack Obama, like Hillary Clinton, does not want single-payer health care. No, 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 no. Barack Obama, like Hillary Clinton, does not think that the Fourth Amendment is worth the powder to blow it to hell. Barack Obama, like Hillary Clinton, is not willing to take our troops out tomorrow from a war in which we were lied into. But we're going to hold his feet to the fire. Yeah, that'll do the trick. I don't even like liberals anymore. Not liberals who come across with that mush-mouth garbage. Are you people out of your minds? How are you going to hold? What, are you going to send emails? Ooh, that'll work.
You couldn't even get off your asses to get out in the street and demonstrate against a president who lied us into a war, and you're going to hold Obama's feet to the fire. You make me laugh. You're not going to do anything. You're going to do what you've done for the past 7 years, sit back on your well-padded asses and bitch and bleat and complain. You're not going to do anything. You Democrats, nothing. So shut up or get active or vote for somebody else. You're going to do it again, aren't you?
Well, Mike, now come on. God damn, what about the Supreme Court?
Crazy. Just crazy. So now we have John Edwards. Oh, let's rip him and his family to shreds and pieces and little chunks of bloody meat. Yeah! Does it have broader implications for the Democratic Party? Oh, God, I hope not. Oh, I certainly hope not. Madness.
Do you like anybody?
I like you. I like Molly.
Should we move to a little island?
No, let's do some phone calls. Stanley is calling from Davie, Florida, listening on WINZ. Stanley, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Mike. I wanted to call you and congratulate you on your moment with Bob and tell you that I agree with you that either Obama or that other caricature would be the same, and perhaps it's better to show the blunt face of the military-industrial complex instead of an anesthetist like Obama.
Hey, hold on a second, Stanley. I got to put you on hold. I got to do a break. Don't hang up. I'll come back and we'll finish the conversation. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone on Nova M Radio.
What could I do? Remember the unity starts with you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Is democracy dead? Only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malone.
21 past the hour. So we have the John Edwards infidelity story that CNN has been covering like white on rice. We have this wonderful, amazing opening show from Beijing. In the meanwhile, over in Central Asia, actually, not even that far east. The country of Georgia, the country of Russia, the country of the United States, and the country of Israel are involved in a hot war, a shooting war. And according to some sources who are on the scene, as many as 1,000 people have already been killed, even as we speak. Now, the reports indicate that as many as 500, possibly more, U.S. troops that were already in Georgia. Remember, the president of Georgia is our boy. Putin doesn't like him. Putin tried to have him killed. Remember the guy that his face got half eaten away from the poisoning? You remember that, right? That president, Mikhail Saakashvili is an American-educated, pro-NATO president. So we have a shooting war. We are involved in a shooting war not unlike Vietnam when it began, a proxy war not unlike Afghanistan back in the late 80s after the early 80s when the Soviets invaded that country. So here we are. As Chris Floyd writes, with the world distracted by the glitz and glam of the Olympic opening ceremonies in Beijing, the new Cold War, fueled by the old Cold Warriors in Washington, took a sharp and bitter turn in Georgia. Yesterday, Georgia's American-educated pro-NATO president, Mikhail Saakashvili, sent a heavy force into the breakaway region of South Ossetia, which has enjoyed de facto independence since the early 90s. Georgian forces shelled the South Ossetian capital of, I can't pronounce it, and sent thousands of refugees fleeing north into Russia. Several Russian peacekeepers, which have been stationed in South Ossetia for years as part of an earlier ceasefire agreement, were killed in the attack. Saakashvili announced that his invasion had liberated much of the region. Today, in retaliation, Russian troops and tanks began moving into South Ossetia, where up to 90% of the population hold Russian passports, and reportedly have bombed installations in Georgia proper. Saakashvili immediately appealed to his chief patron, George W. Bush, to step in and save him from the Russian bear. He told CNN, quote, "It's not about Georgia anymore. It's about America. It's values. We are a freedom-loving nation that is right now under attack," end quote. And after promising to stop the attack, Georgian forces suddenly unleashed a fierce bombardment in the capital, then reportedly bombed a convoy of relief vehicles coming from Russia. Ossetian officials claim that hundreds of civilians have been killed in the shelling of Tishkin Valley. But the report could not be confirmed in the confusion of the moment. Georgia, the country, claims its initial invasion of South Ossetia was in response to continued attacks from South Ossetian militias. And there's some truth in that. After years of relative peace, the tension between Georgia and the Ossetians accelerated after Washington and the Western nations unilaterally recognized the so-called independence of Kosovo. South Ossetia immediately asserted their right to similar recognition of their own independence. In light of the West move in Kosovo, Russian leader Vladimir Putin said Moscow would increase its support for South Ossetia, although the Kremlin denies, not very convincingly, supporting the militia movement. Yeah, I know. Stanley, in Davie, Florida. I know I got carried away there, Stanley. And you know what? Stanley?
Tell me.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Stanley?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I told you I had to put you on hold. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I have to put you on hold again. Do you mind?
Well, I'm afraid my cell phone won't hold out.
Oh, damn. Well, I don't want to ask you to say what you got to say in 20 seconds. I'll tell you what, why don't you recharge your cell phone and call back in? I'm sorry that I didn't get back to you, but I just wanted to get this story out about what's going on between Russia and by the way, Putin and Jintao, who Jintao and George Bush, all three of them are in Beijing tonight. So maybe Bush and Putin could sit down and have a little conversation, huh? What do you think? Yeah, did you realize we are in a shooting war with Russia? You didn't?
best thing to an impeachment hearing. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Hey, we're at war! Another one! Is anybody paying any attention to Russia, Georgia, Ossetia, North and South? Anybody? Huh? Anybody? The Israelis are there. The U.S. is there. The Russians are there. The Georgians are there. Are there Ossetians? I guess there are. The Ossetians are there. Oh, now, to make matters worse, Saakashvili, our boy in Georgia, is going to get a sympathetic hearing from Bush about send me troops, because Mr. Saakashvili has contributed 2,000 troops in the illegal occupation of Iraq. And what did I hear tonight on one of the, it might have been NPR, I don't know where I heard it, but Saakashvili is now saying that he will probably have to withdraw 1,000 of his troops back to Georgia, which is, these are battle-tested troops. These are people who are going to go there to fight the Russians. Now, as far as Mr. Saakashvili getting any help from pieces of human waste like Dick Cheney and George Bush, are you kidding? The only people that we ever pick on are countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and Somalia. And as Chris Floyd points out, the war wimps, the chicken hawks in our administration, are certainly not going to take direct action against what is still the second most powerful military machine in the world. And even their options for indirect action are also limited, thanks to Bush's own terror war and its resultant upward spiral in oil prices. The Kremlin is floating on a sea of money at the moment, and also tightening its hold on Europe's energy market. Where do you think, Truth Seeker, that, oh, pick a name. Get out your map of Europe from your elementary school geography class. Start throwing darts. Where do you think those countries get their energy supply, their natural gas, and their oil? Do, 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 do. The North Sea? Good guess, but that's almost gone. They get it from Russia. Russia, as in our great big Cold War enemy, as in the country that George Bush wants to surround with NATO military bases, as in the country run by Vladimir Putin, a former KGB official who is now saying to George Bush, your ass has gone too far. Too far, frat boy. So here we are. But by God, we are going to know everything about John Edwards' love baby and John Edwards' affair and John Edwards' infidelity. And will this have broader implications for the Democratic Party? I mean, coming so close to the convention, don't you know? In the meantime, for anyone who's keeping score, and I realize that very few people in this country keep score about anything except who's stupping who, for anyone who's keeping score, the United States and Israel, the Russians, the Ossetians, and the Georgians, and God only knows who else. And isn't Ossetia, is that mostly an Islamic country? Are a lot of Muslims there? I'm not sure. So here we go again. There is a war going on tonight. It's a war for influence, dictatorial control, because both Bush and Putin want to be dictators. Both of them very close to it. Good God. But I don't want to hear about that either. I want to hear about, I want to see those pictures when John Edwards ran down a hallway in a hotel and hid in a bathroom, locked the door. Good God, am I glad to know that. Son of a bitch, can you believe that? He just ran down the hall. I bet he had his drawers down around his ankles, didn't he? Huh? Wouldn't that be funny if he did? Mainstream media, anyone listening tonight? Hey, Wolf Blitzer. Hey, Charlie Gibson. Hey, all you mainstream media. Hey, Campbell Brown. Listen to me. Listen very closely. Kill yourselves. Kill yourselves now.
I want you all to kill yourselves, because what you are doing is you are corrupting the entire goddamn planet. Kill yourselves. Okay, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Kill yourselves now. Do it any way that you can. Jump out of a building. Are you in a building? Campbell Brown, where are you tonight? Are you in NBC building? Jump. Wolf Blitzer, what are you doing? Are you out eating fish tonight? Are you having fish in some restaurant? Try to push a big bone down your throat and start shouting. All of you, kill yourselves now. Quickly. Quickly. That's the only way to stop this. Commit suicide. No? Nobody's listening? Oh. Okay. Back to your phone calls. Mike is calling from L.A., listening on KTLK. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you? I hope you're well.
Oh, I'm great.
Hope you and Kathy and Molly and anyway are well.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's all right. I wrote you, and I'm one of those people who, among other things, said hold his feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it would take a generation to build at least another party. So why do we want to go through 4 more years of hell just to prove a point?
Well, now, wait. First of all, what 4 years of hell you're talking about, and what's the point?
If we get McCain elected. I mean, realistically.
If we get, now, wait a minute. Wait a second. Let's take this a step at a time.
All right.
If we get McCain, we get 4 more years of hell. If we get Obama, what do we get?
We get a chance.
Wait, Mike, don't make me put you on hold, damn it. I want to have a conversation with you, but it will be a conversation. Is Barack Obama in favor of single payer health care?
Nobody's in
favor.
He's
not. No, wait. It's just simple one word answers to work. Is John McCain in favor of it?
No.
Okay. Is Barack Obama in favor of offshore drilling?
Where it's legal already.
No. Is he in favor of it? And what does that mean? I'll answer for you. Yes, he's in favor of it. And what it means is we're going to continue this junkie heroin addict addiction to oil while we continue to screw up the planet. This from a liberal. Is John McCain in favor of offshore drilling? Yes, he is.
Anywhere.
Well, that makes a big difference.
These are caveats, and you just...
Okay, that makes a big difference. Okay, is John McCain in favor of bringing the troops home from Iraq?
No.
Is Barack Obama?
Yes.
Is he? Tell me where he said he's in favor and really meaning it to bring troops home from an illegal war. When? Where? How?
In realistic stages.
How long did it take us to invade the country? What is a realistic stage when you have committed an act of terror and aggression against another country? What is a realistic stage? And what is one? What does it mean? One brigade every 6 months or every month? What does that mean when Barack Obama talks about that?
I don't think it's more than one brigade every 6 months.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, Mike. What you're indicating to me is that holding Barack Obama's feet to the fire is one of those non sequiturs. It doesn't mean anything. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you checking in. I really do. Really appreciate you checking in. But if there's anybody out there, not the last caller, I'm not going to pick on him. He's gone now. But if there's any Democrat or liberal or progressive, self-identified, who believes you're going to influence Barack Obama by whatever the hell holding his feet to the fire means, again, I'll just say it again. You're out of your mind. You're crazy. You're crazy. You're absolutely insane. Hold his feet to the fire. How are you going to do that? What are you going to do to hold his feet to the fire? What are you going to do to get Barack Obama to take back his vote that effectively ends the Fourth Amendment? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Are you going to go to the streets? No. Are you going to demand his impeachment? Give me a break. What are you going to do? You're going to send an email.
Mr. President Obama, I really don't like what your vote was. You got to change. We voted you in. Now you be a good little liberal.
Oh, please. Steve is calling from Sussex, Wisconsin. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I really enjoy this show. I just listen and my jaw is dropping every second.
Why?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit outsider. I'm from Transylvania, and I look at it a little bit. I would like to ask you to indulge me for a paradigm shift.
Okay, can you hold on a second? Let me put you on hold a second, Steve, because I got you a break here, and I feel a involved question coming or statement coming or whatever. So let me do the break, and we'll come back and talk with Steve. Going to hold his feet to the fire. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I haven't given up on Russia. I still think Russia understands that it's in her interest to be West.
It is 10 before the hour. Let's go back to Steve, who is calling from Sussex, Wisconsin, listening on the Internet. All right, Steve, let her rip.
Yeah, here is just to illustrate what a paradigm shift is. What is, from the previous caller, what is the difference between McCain and Obama as far as withdrawing troops from Iraq? Of course, everybody knows that McCain has a time horizon and Obama has a timeline. So by looking into what's the difference between the two, you understand what I mean. If you draw a line in the sand, it's like you walk towards it, you eventually cross it, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
A time horizon is you walk towards it, it's always at the same distance. You can never cross it.
Right.
So that kind of summarizes what the difference is. McCain is a old style U.S. empire type. He will never, ever withdraw troops. Obama is going to dismantle the American empire. I firmly believe that.
He's going to what?
Dismantle the American empire the same way.
Wait. It's not Obama's to dismantle. How? Now this is where you and I really part company.
I have two names for you.
Wait a second, please. Obama does not have the power nor the authority. What is Obama going to do to dismantle the American empire? Tell me what he's going to do.
I tell you exactly because you're talking about Georgia, and it's an actual. You know who's the. Who's Saakashvili? He's the boy of Shevardnadze, right?
Shevardnadze, right.
Yeah, Edward Shevardnadze was the former foreign minister of the Soviet Union under Gorbachev. He and Gorbachev, starting from the 70s, 72, took single-handedly down the Soviet Union. You know how they started, right?
Well, Shevardnadze was from Georgia.
Yeah, was the leader of the Georgian Communist Party.
Right.
And he started in 72. When he got into power, he kicked the whole Politburo in Georgia in the ass. He arrested top five communists there for corruption.
Okay, wait. Steve, in the interest of time, how is Barack Obama... I understand what you're saying and appreciate the historical references, but in the interest of time, how is Obama going to dismantle the American empire? Let me just throw this in. The last person who tried to do that, John F. Kennedy, was assassinated. How is Barack Obama going to try to do it?
Very simple.
Okay.
Mikhail Gorbachev would have been assassinated as well, but right now we have economic necessities. The whole military-industrial complex is split over what shall we do. We cannot continue the crazy policies of the old guard, the McCain, Dick Cheney, and this fascist time, because we don't have the money. We don't have the economic power to do it. And in order to avoid a collapse, the elite, the establishment, I completely agree with you. There will be no change substantially. The same people will stay in power. I mean, all those liberals who believe that Obama will bring a 17th century, democratic republic back, they're dreaming. It's not never going to happen. We're an empire, and we either survive as a strong military-industrial nation to the next century, or we will, you know, collapse economically. And what happened in Russia is right now what's happening in Russia is that the old guard, the old KGB guard, which Putin is the leader of,
right?
They are back in power.
Oh sure, oh absolutely.
They failed because
Russia is going to rise from the ashes of the collapse of the Soviet Union,
you know,
and the absolute raping of Russia by Western capitalists.
Sure, exactly. Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the guy who's in jail right now,
right?
He was about to transfer the oil wealth of Russia through his bank Menatep into the Bank of New York. Okay. To Texaco and Exxon and Chevron, okay? That's why he's in jail.
Okay, but now wait. This, again, Steve, I love what you're saying. This is very interesting. But what is Obama going to do? And you got a minute. What is Obama going to do to dismantle American empire?
What Obama is going to do is kick these guys in the butt, because the reason why in Russia you have Putin right now is the Texas boys.
Okay, what guys? What guys he's going to kick in the butt?
Okay. What you have to understand about the conservative movement is that it's a fascist movement that started as a military intelligence operation in South Africa. That's why these guys are so it's an operation of the oil companies. It's an operation of certain banks, private equity firms. And they are the minority in the economic elite. They are a minority group in the American establishment. And they will lose. They will lose this battle against the majority of American corporations and companies who are good guys. Okay? Because they don't want to, bankrupt. You think the auto industry wants to go bankrupt? Mike, this is very complicated. These are military.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but I'm still waiting for you to tell me, Steve. Please tell me, how is Obama going to? Don't tell me he's going to kick them in the butt. That's not the answer to the question. What's he going to do?
He has his allies throughout the establishment, and what he's going to do is he's going to strangle them through the spigot. He's going to turn the economy around into a green economy. Once you make these guys irrelevant, they won't have any power left, okay?
All right, but Steve, are you aware that so many of the economic advisors to Barack Obama are the same economic advisors? They belong to the same school of economics that Bush and Cheney. All right, I appreciate what you had to say, Steve. I really do, and I hope you'll call again. But once again, I think you, like a lot of people who support Barack Obama, you didn't say you supported him. But you're engaged in magical thinking, and I don't mean that as an insult. Obviously, you're a very intelligent, very well versed man where it concerns global politics, and I appreciate that. But where it concerns Barack Obama, I still would maybe send me an email. How is he going to end American empire?
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. The Malloy program on Nova M Radio. Well, this is a surprise. Only Diana in Olympia, Washington emailed me about my glaring error. Usually, we must not have a very big audience tonight. Kathy, usually when I make as big a mistake as I made, I get maybe 8 or 9 corrections. But Diana caught it. My bad. I referred to the president of Georgia as being the man who was poisoned and disfigured by the Russian KGB. It was not Saakashvili. It was the president of Ukraine, Viktor Yushchenko, who got the poisoning and the horrible disfigurement. Thanks, Diana. Just hard to keep all those Russian names straight, right? That's why I could never finish Russian novels. No, it's because I wasn't paying attention. Thanks, Diana. Quick email here. Before we go back to your phone calls, Todd in Mundelein, Illinois writes, good evening, Mike. I have a couple of questions. For all these dumbass Democrats who want to hold President Obama's feet to the fire, how well has that worked in the past? Did you hold Nancy Pelosi's feet to the fire? How about Harry Reid's? How fast did they respond? Give me a blankety-blank break. You people are freaking sheep. Just go bury your heads in the sand and shut the hell up. Ooh, Todd. Bad attitude. But, yeah, that's my point exactly. Hold someone's feet to the fire. How do you hold a president, Obama's feet to the fire, when we, after giving Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi control of the House and the Senate, could not get them to do one single thing that we had on our agenda? Nothing. So Todd's right. How's that feet holding to the fire thing working out? Huh? For the Democrats. So you want to try again? Okay, go ahead. And drive yourselves mad. Isn't that one of the, I know it's a cliche, one of the indicators that someone is crazy, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result? Holding their feet to the fire. Do you realize that expression, I think, comes from some sort of medieval torture? Back to your phone calls. Kirk is calling from Worcester, Mass., listening on the Internet. Hey, Kirk, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
I do want to join in on the third-party conversation because I am just about had it with both parties, although I don't have much options here in my area when it comes to voting. I am forced to vote in a Democratic primary for United States Senate in order to get positive change rather than, since there's no independent. But we have to run third party candidates against incumbents that typically run unopposed, try to get to run a voting ballot initiative on the ballot, I guess, in the future.
Mm-hmm. Here's the main problem with instant runoff voting is that, except for the people who advocate it, the other 99.999% of Americans don't have a clue as to what instant runoff voting is.
Right.
And don't want to know because it sounds too complicated. So how to educate the general population on instant runoff voting? I don't know. If you work with any organizations that are working on educating Americans as to what instant runoff voting is, carry on. But you've certainly got a big job ahead of you, right?
Right. Right. The only other suggestion is to run candidates against incumbents that typically run unopposed. And John Conyers has only opposition is a libertarian named Richard Sekulow or... there are other candidates that their only opposition is a third-party candidate.
Right.
So, and if you do have a third-party candidate, then vote for that third-party candidate. I'm my congressional election, I'm planning to just do a write-in ballot. I don't even go vote for my congressman. And he is, to some extent, Jim McGovern, but I've just about had it with him because his vote for the dog crime bill and his no support for impeachment.
His vote for what bill?
H.R. 1955, Violent Radicalization Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act.
Oh,
he still supports it, yet his friend, my ACLU rep, is very much against it, Rahm Emanuel.
That's the one that has to do with what is published on the Internet.
The thought crime of the legislation, yeah.
Right.
Right.
And McGovern also voted against what?
Well, he has sent out letters saying he doesn't support the Cheney impeachment.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten the same letter twice saying, oh, it won't save lives in Iraq. And it's like it just pissed me off.
Yeah, that's starting to drive me crazy too. Kirk, I got to move on. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. You know, for these sitting members of the House and the Senate, especially the House, to say, well, it won't save any of the killing in Iraq, is again a massive non sequitur. It has nothing to do with the topic. The topic is impeaching these criminal sons of bitches who have turned this country inside out to the extent that they've had, their 8 years to do it. I'm not saying the whole turning inside out of the country rests solely on Cheney and Bush. A lot of it rests on Bill Clinton. A lot of it rests on Pappy Bush. A lot of it rests on Ronald Reagan. But these are the two that we have in our judicial sights if we could ever muster the courage to do it. And when I say we, I don't mean you and me. If I were Speaker of the House and you were the President of the Senate, or the Senate Majority Leader, this would have been done, 5 years ago? So here we sit. Here we sit. Kim is calling from Buckeye, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Kim, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. I just would like to say that I understand what you're trying to do is provoke people into thinking about Obama. It seems like to me, well, let me phrase it this way, and I think the whole thing is about framing things, and I think it should be framed in a matter of look at his character, because his character will he will lead the way through his character, how he treats people. Just like I have not seen not once anyone being thrown out of an Obama event, but I have in McCain. You know, and Obama, it was the best in his class. McCain was at the bottom, you know. So, and he's the one who's saying anything to get elected because he was a so-called maverick, and now he's just really being like Bush. And just framing this, it's like he has to, Obama's not even president yet, and he already has to crystallize what he's going to do. When he gets in, then, as they say, we hold his feet to the fire. Something's not happened, because me, myself, I'll run through the streets naked. Maybe I can draw some kind of attention to myself, and they'll want to talk to me, and then maybe I could say, you know, something else about the media, because the media is frivolous right now. They are not talking about any issues whatsoever. Right. Whatsoever. McCain has done...
Wait, Kim, what makes you think the media are going to have this massive change of heart and redirection if Barack Obama becomes president?
Because, number one, he'll be president. Right now, he's just a candidate. Because there was no scrutiny with George Bush getting in office. I saw a film of him before he was in office, and he was a bumbling fool.
All right. I hear what you're saying. And as far as the things about Barack Obama that are praiseworthy, and they do exist, he's not a demon. He's not a bad human being. A lot of things are praiseworthy about Barack Obama. But to me, I think they're the sorts of things that would qualify him to be the president of a university, qualify him to be the president of a research institute, not the things that would qualify him to be president. Oh, well, never mind.
I don't even believe you don't even believe.
primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Email here from Carter in Dickinson, North Dakota. Carter writes, Mike, here's what the Democrats have done. Rumsfeld is gone. Rove is gone. Libby is gone. Wolfowitz is gone. Gonzalez is gone. Minimum wage is up. Granted, it did not get far, but the word impeachment has been brought up. I think we would be in a lot worse shape if Bush still had his Republican Congress. Thanks, Carter. Yeah, well, no doubt. No doubt. But I think the topic at hand, looking forward, is not Bush. Bush should be brought before a tribunal and held accountable for the war crimes and the crimes against humanity he's committed, he and his whole cohort. But the subject at hand is Barack Obama and how he's going to survive. See, a lot of people think I'm anti-Barack Obama, and I'm not. I'm not in the least. As a matter of fact, I think Barack Obama would probably be an inspirational leader. But we don't need an inspirational leader right now, I don't think. What we need is someone who can repair the damage done by the Bush crime family. And that means no one. It can't be repaired. It has to work its way to its conclusion. Now, who should have the titular responsibility for the collapse that we're facing? A Democrat? A young, charismatic, intelligent Democrat like Barack Obama? No. At least I don't think so. I think a person who should be handed 8 years of destruction by the Republican Party is a Republican. Give it to McCain. You know, I keep saying this. Give McCain the presidency. And give the House and the Senate to the Democrats with veto-proof majorities. Does no one understand what that means? That means that if a veto-proof majority of Democrats in the House and the Senate assert the authority granted them by the Constitution, then a President McCain can do nothing, absolutely nothing detrimental further to this republic. And that the Congress, the House and the Senate, can, they're the only ones who can, repair the damage. The next president cannot. He has no legislative power. The president does not make law. The president does not rescind already made law. That's up to the House and the Senate. Why is that apparently so hard for liberals or progressives to understand, at least the ones that listen to this program? Why do you want to put a good man like Barack Obama into a position where he will be sliced and diced? Why do you want to do that? I said the other night, it's because y'all are crazy. You want your Jesus. You want your man on the cross. You want the sacrificial lamb. Why? The Republicans have done this. Let the Republicans have control of the executive branch while this country almost goes under. Now, what's going to stop us from going under? It's not the president. It's the Congress. It's the House and the Senate. They are the ones that can deep six the so-called U.S. Patriot Act. They are the ones that can get rid of Homeland Security. They are the ones that can get rid of the Military Commissions Act. They are the ones that can restore to themselves the power of declaring war. They are the ones that can say no more off-the-books funding of illegal wars. They are the ones that can say the budget is going to be the budget. They are the ones that can pass the laws that say no more predatory capitalism. They are the ones that can insist that the laws on the books be enforced. The President of the United States can do none of that. Now,
The argument I'm getting is, well, Malloy, if the Democrats haven't done it so far, what makes you think they're going to do it now? I don't have an answer for that one. If the Democrats don't do it with a veto-proof majority in my little theoretical world here, with McCain as president, and with a veto-proof House and Senate, McCain would be totally impotent, totally unable to enact anything. And if he vetoed what the House and the Senate did, they would override his veto. That's all predicated on the idea that there are Democrats out there who will be in power, who will make this happen. If you think a President Obama can make this happen, you are delusional. Tell me how. None of you have said that yet. All I'm getting are these nasty ass emails about you traitor, you closet Republican, you son of a bitch. Why don't you people come up with how Barack Obama is going to save this republic? Okay? Okay.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Your favorite screamer. It's about 25 before the hour. Bob over at headonradio.com. If you haven't gone there, you need to. Headonradio.com. Bob writes, Mike, parties or factions, as they were called in Federalist Papers, are indeed the anathema the framers recognize. That's part of why they initially set up the president and vice president to be the two top presidential choices. You get that? Nothing more likely to keep a president in check than a vice president who would lead the Senate and happen to be your opponent. As of the moment that Aaron Burr stood up to Jefferson, however, that got changed quick. Jefferson's own strained relationship with John Adams also suggested that the framers got it wrong. One wonders now if they did. Can you imagine George Bush having had to deal with Al Gore as vice president for the last 8 years? What would the Reagan Revolution have been with Jimmy Carter in the second chair? Also, you mentioned putting an end to the Republican Party. Did you know that the Constitution empowers each House of Congress to expel members upon a vote of two-thirds of the membership? The Constitution establishes no specified grounds for it, just says they can. Give that a minute's consideration. If the Democrats had a two-thirds majority in each House, the Democrats could, on nothing more than a simple roll call vote, eliminate Republicans from the Congress. That's in Article 1, Section 5 for the folks scoring at home. I fully concur with your declaration that the Republican Party must be destroyed once and for all. That's one way to get started. The other, finish the job our grandparents and great and great-great-grandparents didn't. After Hoover, they had a chance to eliminate Republicans once and for all. They didn't. They put them into retreat, but they stopped to celebrate their victory. The question then remains, do we have the guts to run the Republicans to ground this time? We didn't after Hoover. We didn't after Nixon. Do we this time? What did you say about repeating the same thing, expecting a different result? One final observation. If Obama wins, the Democratic Congress will find its spine. It will find it in an effort to hogtie Obama. That precedent is fairly recent history. Clinton didn't cause the Congress to fall into Republican hands in 1994. That was a wound the Democratic Congress inflicted on itself. Remember Sam Nunn having kittens with crocheted tails over gays in the military? After a decade of laying down in front of Reagan and Bush, the Democrats in Congress found its spine in opposing Bill Clinton.
Will Rogers was right, and you know the quote. Bob. Yeah, the quote is, no, I'm not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat. Yeah, that's a good point. I you know, completely did not reference that in my little addled brain. It was not Clinton who who brought the Republicans to power in 1994. It was the Democrats. So, as Bob says, you know, why should anyone think that we would have the guts to end the Republican nonsense this time around? Look what the Republican Party has done to this country in the past 8 years. And why should we believe that a democratically controlled Congress will do those things necessary to eliminate the Republican Party? Just eliminate it. We don't have Whigs anymore. Eliminate. They got eliminated. We don't have whatever the hell the parties were at the over the first 100 years of this country. We don't have them anymore. Why not? Because they were no goddamn good for the Republic. So let's get rid of Republicans. Can anyone tell me what good Republicans have been to this country over the past 25 years? Go ahead. Send me an email. Tell me what good any Republican has done for this nation in the past 25 years. Yeah. Sure. Bob at headonradio.com. All right, back to your phone calls. Beth is calling from Missouri, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Beth.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am just dandy.
good.
with the Edwards sideshow going on, I wanted to point out that the government presented their evidence on the anthrax case today.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yes, and Mike Signorelli was playing clips earlier that were, I don't remember who he was playing, but apparently it was from a news show, and it blew the evidence out of the water.
Really?
Yes.
I have to tell you that I'm completely oblivious to a couple of times today when I flipped on TV, I saw somebody from the FBI, I guess, who was standing there making their case, or was that yesterday, for their conclusion that this guy who committed suicide, what's his name?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
I'm lucky I remember yours.
Yeah, that he was totally responsible. I don't believe it for a second. Absolutely don't believe it. And I don't know what Michael had on his program, but I'm sure over the weekend I'll you know, get back up to speed on that.
Yeah, the biggest bombshell they dropped was that supposedly he had access to a flask of anthrax, but it was liquefied anthrax, and he did not have the means to make it powder.
Right.
And I think that right there really says a lot.
Well, I think it does, too. I honestly believe that the so-called anthrax attack was something that was engineered out of the White House, not necessarily by George Bush, he's a jerk, but by Dick Cheney and Cheney's operatives. Look, you know, my feeling is that Cheney is the most murderous, vile vice president or just human being that has been in position of power in this country in generations. There is nothing that Dick Cheney wouldn't do in order to further his personal agenda, which is death for everybody except him. So I don't believe for a second that the anthrax attack came from any source other than Dick Cheney. That's just me. I mean, you know, just saying.
I have to agree, and I think that this is one more death that Bush should be held responsible for. Bush, Cheney, and, you know, all of them.
I hear you.
All right, thanks.
All right, Beth, thanks for checking in. I appreciate you calling. Thank you. Take care. Sean is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
It's moving. It's moving.
I know. First time caller, long time listener.
Well, thanks for checking in.
Oh, all day. I mean, it's first time that we get in. Let me just comment on the what you because I agree with you what you're saying. Essentially, I agree with what you're theorizing. But I think the argument needs to be real simple.
All right.
It don't need to be about offshore drilling. It doesn't need to be about Supreme Court. It needs to be about, do you want World War III? I think that's the bottom line. I think that should be the question that we should ask ourselves right now. Do you want a World War III? Look at what's happening right now, as you spoke about, in Georgia with Russia.
Right.
Kane is on the side of Georgia right now. He's hawkish. The other day I was watching MSNBC, and he had somebody on there, and they were saying, they were talking about Iran, one of his representatives. And he said, to be honest with you, there's no more talking that we could do. The only thing we could do is pretty much go to war with them.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is this. I'm with you. I mean, Obama's not perfect. I mean, there's no way he's going to be more progressive or liberal or what have you. You know, he's not going to be able to satisfy either you, me, or whoever, a real, true progressive or liberal.
Right.
But I think the opportunity to go to World War III is a little more limited with an Obama presidency and a democratically controlled Congress.
All right. Now, let me jump in if I can, Sean. All right?
Go ahead.
In the first place, I tend to agree with you. I don't think Obama is insane, and I think John McCain is. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. It's not up to McCain or Obama or you or me, if we were president, to decide to go to war. It's up to the Congress. It's up to the House and the Senate. There has to be a declaration of war. We will never ever go to war with Iran. I don't care who's president. It can be a vampire. I don't care who's president. We will never go to war if the U.S. Congress reasserts its power granted by the Constitution. They gave that power away with the War Powers Act. So it doesn't make any difference who's president. If the Congress, if the elected representatives of the people will take back what the Congress gave them, and they gave it away. If they'll take that back, then World War III will never happen unless the American people say, make it happen. You understand what I'm saying?
Mike, trust me, I understand.
All right.
Exactly what you're saying, but hear me out, okay? Now, I mean, that's how it's supposed to work.
All right, you got 30 okay? seconds. Say it in 30
okay,
seconds,
okay, that's how it's
Sean.
Supposed to work. But you got Dick Cheney over here trying to put a false flag attack against our own troops to start a war with Iran. What makes you think? I watched a clip of McCain Oberman talking about the Iran, the anthrax attacks coming from Iraq.
All right.
All right,
Sean, I hear you. I do. And what you say makes sense. I hear you. But what I'm saying is Bush has so corrupted our system that the Congress doesn't realize its own power.
Every person, every being, your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot.
Ten before the hour, thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, and the executive producer, Captain Bay, for the mechanical aspects of this program, the creative staff, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, and me. Oh, I think the new Malloy Reads His Insane email is up at for founding members. Just go to NovaMradio.com, click on the NovaM members section and the videos. It's kind of funny this week. I think it's funny. there's a comparison between Rush Limbaugh's penis and mine. God, I love this business. Back to your phone calls. Ben is calling from California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike. Thank you very much for taking the call.
Sure.
Because, you know, one of the things that I listen to you and I get so engaged in all the craziness,
right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, you sometimes lose track of the humor involved. And I know you got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know that, you know, did you read those five jokes that Obama approved for his campaign?
I did not.
The fifth joke, I don't remember the fourth ones were, but the fifth joke was that, okay, there's a priest and there's a rabbi and there's a preacher in a boat.
Yeah.
And then Obama says, yeah, but there's not an imam there, so it's not going to work. You see, the thing is, we're all in the boat together.
Uh-huh.
We're all in the boat together. And if you can't get along in the boat together, somebody's going to get kicked out. And, you know, we don't want to be in the minority. And this, unfortunately, is the American position right now, is we are in the global boat community in the minority. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And so the only way we can overcome this position that we're in is, number one, we have to first get a sense of humor. Don't you think?
No.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Not as a necessary quality to solving the issue of illegal torture, illegal invasion of other countries, mass murder, violation of the Constitution, destruction of the economy. Sorry, Ben. Humor's not...
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
This is it. Brock, do you know when Brock's timeline is to get out of Iraq?
16 months?
No, come on. You haven't been reading. It's in October of 2010. Do you know what Iraq's timeline is for the United States to get out of Iraq?
Last week.
No. Fall of 2010. Now, what's the difference between the fall of 2010 and October 2010?
Well, I think you're doing a cart-horse mix-up here. Barack Obama, when he was in Iraq, had a chat with Maliki, our puppet in Iraq, and when they came out of the meeting, yeah. Maliki said, yeah, I agree with Barack Obama.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you the Iraqi timeline for the U.S. military to get the hell out of their country last week. You think I'm kidding you?
Well, Juan Cole is a little different on that. I mean, because, by the way, did you read...
Juan Cole, that doesn't sound like an Iraqi name to me. Juan Cole. That sounds very kind of, you know, like American. No, I'll tell you what. Here's the deal, Ben. Here's the real deal. There has been some polling done, and I know, polling is nothing but garbage. But there's been some polling done in Iraq, and the Iraqi people want the U.S. military the hell out of their country. Now, right now, get out. And that's B. Here's A. We have no reason to have gone there to begin with. Now, if I have a presidential candidate, one says, we might be there 100 years. I write him off as a senile son of a bitch who probably has to have someone else change his depends because he doesn't understand the concept of, ooh, my butt sweat. And if the other one says, well, within 16 months, then I've got to think to myself, they're both mad. They're both insane. We have no business being there to begin with. I'll tell you how to end the occupation of Iraq. Get the hell out. Tomorrow, start the withdrawal. Get out. Just go. Just go. I'm so sick of this talk. As though there is something rational or reasonable talking about how and when and under what conditions we are going to leave a country that we have for the past 14 years absolutely beat into the ground. How many people do we have to kill there? How much depleted uranium do we have to leave? How many sections of their society do we have to utterly destroy? 16 months, my ass. Get out tomorrow.
Start tomorrow, Saturday, August 9th. Get out.
Well, Mike, we can't do that. You know, we need an orderly withdrawal. We can't, you know, we can't do that.
Don't talk to me about Barack Obama's plan for withdrawal. And for damn sure, don't talk to me about John McCain's. There are no plans for withdrawal. I'll tell you a plan for withdrawal. Get out tomorrow. There's your plan for withdrawal. Very simple. Notify your commanders on the ground. Start withdrawing your troops Saturday, August 9th. Get out now. There's your plan for withdrawal. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.